throwing iron through her head.
The head.
The brain.
They must be destroyed as quickly as possible. There's no time for funeral arrangements.
You're gonna love my nuts. Watch this. One finger. If I could do it with one finger, you guys can do it with your whole hand. Kids can do it.
This is the heart and soul of rock and roll with Wolfman Jack on KRLA.
A local or a regional phenomenon.
Evil rules, you know. Really does. Evil and violence are the only two measures that hold any power. Look at the world. Chaos.
Calabrese.
Believe in the boogeyman.
Remark Radio, the world's original all horror broadcast.
guaranteed to drive you mad.
Busted.
Yeah, welcome to Remote Radio Fiends as we bust a groove on another spooky horror radio broadcast. Yes, I'm your host here as always, your admiral of the effervescent evil airwaves, Tomb Dragomir.
Maybe you've heard about him. He was pretty famous back in the 80s, a serial killer who stuffed his victims' mouths full of pudding roll-ups.
Pudding. This week on the broadcast.
He was rejuvenated. It was like he had gotten younger. He was exuding more. His vibes were better. His aura was better. He was just back in the saddle doing what he really wants to do. I think that's, you know, doing these indie films, smaller, is where he's most comfortable.
We're talking Documents of the Dead with Roy Frumkus as Roy Frumkus returns. Our blood-spattered guide casts an eyeball on the Residents' Talking Light tour, and the caustic critics are taking on the Wolfman. Ow!
Out there.
You were bitten by the beast. You bear his mark now.
You believe in curses?
Beasts. A beast has come among us.
Terrible things, Lawrence.
Aw, oh, man, Trey, look up at the sky. It's a full moon on the Sabbath.
This is scary.
Yeah, spooky tunes en route this week from Motorhead, the Handsome Family, Where Evils Dare, Zombie Girl, plus tons more fun to come, so stay tuned to the Weird Wide Web's original all-horror broadcast, Rumored Let's Go, with Harley Poe. What do you know?
A mundane murder, children, little girls and boys. Wrap my hands around their throats till they don't make a noise. Tuesday, torture animals, cut off small birds' wings. Watch them as they bleed to death, then they don't sing. Wednesdays, I defecate on the priest's front door. And if the priest, he does complain, I just do it some more. And Thursdays, I molotov the local orphanage home. I love those little orphans, char them to the bone. Cause I'm terrible, should it be allowed to sing my songs to fill to a decent crowd? Cause I'm terrible, should it be allowed to sing my songs to fill to a decent crowd? Nuns. Tie them up, leer at them, and then I have my fun. Saturdays I stand and sing my sad, sad, sick, sick songs to anyone who listens when the head is wrong. But Sunday, Sunday, the day I love the best, I rape, murder, and pillage while other people rest. Cause I'm terrible, terrible, shouldn't it be allowed to sing my songs of filth to a decent crowd? Cause I'm terrible, terrible, shouldn't it be allowed? But when I do offend someone, it makes me feel so proud.
In the early 30s, Adolf Hitler and his inner circle became obsessed with the occult. Nazi agents traveled the globe in search of ancient Nordic relics known as runestones. The symbols inscribed in these stones were said to describe the path to immortality.
When you rule the blood, death is no longer the end.
Blood Creek. Feedback at Frumkus coming up soon. Stick around. Here's Zombie Girl, the ones who walk at night. All right.
A mistress of the dead, I'll roam the street and find my love in tricks and treats. It's safe tonight to walk as me. It's safe tonight, it's Halloween. I will smile and grin as I take my treat, because it won't be long until you walk with me. When I taste your heart and your mind is clean, for you every night will be Halloween.
For you every night will be Halloween. I can see you there.
I can see you there within the crowds, all bags of sweetness under the shrouds.
Behind your mask, you cannot hide.
Behind your mask, you cannot hide. Behind your mask, I'll creep inside.
Behind your mask, you cannot hide.
Behind your mask, you cannot hide. Behind your mask, I'll creep inside.
Authorities have concluded that in all cases, the killers are eating the flesh of the people they murder. Repeating this latest bulletin just received moments ago, civil defense authorities have told newsmen that murder victims show evidence of having been partially devoured by their murderers.
Let me loose inside your head.
Let me loose inside your head. We'll be together as living dead.
Living dead.
Living dead. Living dead. Creatures like us will walk in the night. Creatures like us walk in the night. I will hold you close as I take my treat. It won't be long until you walk with me.
Creatures like us will walk in the night. Creatures like us walk in the night.
When I taste your heart and your mind is clean, for us, every night will be Halloween.
Guys in the crew are going crazy. A couple of them have flown the coop already. I don't know how long we're going to stand in here.
The HAFO stations have been knocked out.
Get me another list.
Sure, I just pull it out of my ass, right?
I don't believe anyone. The dead are returning to life. I'm not so sure.
You believe the dead are returning to life and attacking the living?
I'm not so sure what to believe, Doctor. All we get is what you people tell us. And it's hard enough to believe.
It's fact.
It's hard enough to believe without you coming in here and...
You're not running a talk show here, Mr. Berman. You can forget pitching an audience the moral bullshit.
All right, so first of all, what is the state of the Church of Satan?
I was going to ask you about Wes Craven, and now I'm ashamed to.
Les Messman style.
Possibly the Antichrist.
Like a zombie character on Sesame Street.
All of a sudden, it seems so irrelevant. Continue.
I speak nothing but the fucking English language. And if that's infamous, then
tough titters.
All right, this is feedback with part two of my interview with filmmaker Roy Frumkes. Roy is best known for the film Document of the Dead, the definitive behind-the-scenes look at the making of George A. Romero's 1970s horror classic Dawn of the Dead.
George Romero brings back the dead. They are here now, and they cannot be stopped. Close your eyes if you want to, run if you must, but remember, this time there is no escaping. Dawn of the Dead.
All right, so I want to ask you about Document of the Dead. You recently added a whole other chapter to the film.
Yeah, the final chapter. I said to George, you know, obviously you're going to keep on making these things, but I'm going to retire after this one. And then I proposed to him that the collectors love to see the two of us walking and talking. That's become like a thread throughout, you know, the 32 years I've been doing this. And I said, how about this time we're on gurneys and they're wheeling us down a hospital thing? And he said, look, you may be retiring, but I'm going to keep on making movies. I can't get on a gurney. So that idea was nixed. But it has a lot of new stuff. I mean, I had to go in a very different direction. I mean, the first one was kind of a teaching film, and it had somewhat of a pedantic, voiceover.
Its flaws were mainly budgetary, while its virtues were clearly visionary, earning it popular success as a horror film and a cult following for exploratory uses of genre and technique.
The second one was kind of a pure documentary on the set of Two Evil Eyes.
So is this the end?
I don't know. The zombies are... zombies are a little smarter, but I'm getting dumber by the day.
But the third one, something strange has happened, which is that when I did the original Document of the Dead in 1978, I was the only one there. You know, there was a three-month shoot, and I was alone. You know, they didn't have DVD yet. They didn't have Laserdisc yet. They didn't have making-of documentaries for independent films. Mine was the first. So there were no other documentary crews there, so I had complete freedom. But in this last 10 years, I mean, you know, when I went up to Land of the Dead, when I went to Diary of the Dead, and when I went to Survival of the Dead, I would get there and there'd be three other documentary crews walking around, and they'd be following me, you know, because they figured I'd be picking the best locations to shoot from. So I realized real quickly that no footage I was going to get on the set was going to be that unique. I couldn't quite do what I used to do. So this final chapter, I'm telling you, goes in a very different direction. It's I like it, but I had to find things that no one else could get.
I'm curious what your thoughts are on the last three Romero zombie movies, specifically with how the last two compare with Land of the Dead, because they've been touted as more of a return to his independent roots.
Yes, I can tell you from having been on the sets of the three that... Land of the Dead, being kind of semi-Hollywood funded and supervised, was a strain on him. He really comes from a purely independent psyche. Like, you know, he likes a family group there. He just wants to know everyone that he's working with. He wants this, you know, this kind of easy, languorous control of everything. And he's very sharp and really knows what he wants. And Land wasn't being quite done that way, and there were lots of, even with that large budget, it wasn't enough to do what the script wanted, and I'm not sure that was a terribly pleasant experience for him.
They're mindless walking corpses, and many of us will be too if you don't stay focused on the task at hand. Zombies, man. They creep me out.
A few years later, when I was on the set of Diary, he was rejuvenated. It was like he had gotten younger. He was exuding more. His vibes were better. His aura was better. He was just back in the saddle doing what he really wants to do. I think that's, you know, doing these indie films, smaller, is where he's most comfortable.
Well, you know, in addition to freedom, it gives you a different perspective. You're not so much a victim of trends, of popular thinking.
Survival of the Dead, that was brutal for me. I don't know. They were trying to get it started early to beat the winter up in Toronto. And I went up there, and I'd never been so cold.
This is like living in Pittsburgh, if you can call that living.
Yeah, I was actually on the set briefly.
Okay, so, you know...
During one of the particularly cold, horrible, windy days that you probably experienced.
Right? I mean, I couldn't bear it for more than an hour or two, and George is just having the time, you know, he's just taking it all in stride.
Because Toronto's where it's happening, man. The music, the film industry, the arts.
Very interesting. So, what do I think of them? I do think it's a return to him, and I think if people look back far enough, if they can remember how different Dawn was from Night. Mm-hmm. It was stupefying, you know, and so the difference between Diary and Survival is kind of like that. It's a pretty big leap in terms of conception, and I think that's great fun.
I think, by and large, fans have been very negative to the last three Romero films. Why do you think that is?
Maybe they're expecting something different, you know. That he goes his own way, and they maybe they stay in line. Look, I was on the commentary track for the old Document of the Dead. I told off the fans for not coming to see Knight Riders. I was appalled by their, you know, deserting him in that way. And so I don't have an awful terrific regard for the fans as a mob. They're like zombies, you know. But I think maybe in time, you know, these films will gain more stature and they'll be reexamined differently. When I was on the set of Survival, I said, you know, this is kind of a Western. He says, yeah. I said, what are you going to do next, a musical? And he said, if it takes putting a couple of zombies in, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like...
Well, I think with Survival, what's great is, you know, George Romero is a huge fan of the Western genre, and now he's finally figured out he can make any genre of film he wants, except all he has to do is stick in a couple of zombies.
That's exactly right, and it's exactly what he said. It was as if you were quoting him. That's right. And I think he's figured that out, and he plans on visiting genre after genre. You know, it's funny, I was asking him, I guess on the set of, maybe it was Land, or maybe it was Diary, but I was asking him, you know, what had he seen lately that he liked, and he said, Moulin Rouge.
Say what?
He said, I thought that was a balls-out, creative, you know, unexpurgated piece of work. He said, that's my style, you know. And he does love the other genres. I mean, I know you know that when he was, you know, in 1951, when he was really being influenced the most by films, it was The Thing and Tales of Hoffman, an opera, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. It got him. And I can see those things in all of his work.
For more information about the previous DVD release of Documents of the Dead, visit the website at www.synapse-films.com.
Hi, this is George Romero. I'm in Toronto shooting Diary of the Dead, and you're listening to Rumorg Radio.
I learned everything from George Romero. Where Evils Dare, Return of the Living Dead.
I like it spooky.
It's time. Hey, look who it is. It's Shannon. Hey, Shannon. What's happening?
Hey, Tom. I noticed your goatee's getting a little bit gruffy there. You know, they've got this new thing. It's called Man Groomer. You actually can groom everything up there and down below, too. They say you'll get repeat customers. Don't know what kind of repeat customers you'll get, but apparently you'll get them. Hey, everyone. It's Shannon, and I've got what's happening horror-wise from around the world. February 27th at the San Francisco Center in San Francisco. It is the Women in Horror Con from 1:30 to 6. Jessie Lily Campbell from Mondo Cult Magazine will be there. Best part, admission is free. Go to lastdoorwayproductions.com for more details. March 20th at the Brattle Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts, The Unknown will be shown with live musical accompaniment. The Unknown features the great Lon Chaney and was directed by Todd Browning. Tickets 15 bones. For more info on the band and the movie, go to brattlefilm.org. And Desploitation Cinema presents Catherine Bigelow's vampire movie Near Dark, starring Bill Paxton, Lance Henriksen, and Adrian Pasdar. Friday, March 26th at 9 p.m. at the Metro Cinema in Edmonton, Alberta. Go to deadfest.com for all the details. Should be a raucous good time. If you know of something that's happening horror-wise, let me know. Shannon at roomorgradio.com.
Oh, this Man Groomer's awesome. Oh, yeah. Check that out. Whew. All right, tons more show to go. Fiends, stick around. Here's the Arcade Doctors. Residents coming up in the BSG.
My job just got a lot more interesting. It was Friday. I know this because it was poker night, and my boss said to me that he wanted to become a vampire, which I thought was an odd request at the time, but it seemed like he was so happy about it, I figured I might as well oblige him. So, I took him down to the local Russian bar, and we had a conversation with Dimitri, who seemed like he was going to looked my boss up, but took him to the back and decided that he just wanted to suck his blood instead. So we left there and went down to the blood bank because my boss needed a refill. And while we were there, we ran into a few straight guys on the street, and they had these really long fangs. weren't there for deposits. They were there for withdrawals, and they saw my boss, and they figured that they might help him out, seeing as he wanted to become a vampire and all.
Looking for a vampire 9 to 5, just trying to stay.
It's dinner time. Why are you looking at me like that?
This is Doc from the Dead Vampires.
And Bat from the Dead Vampires.
And you're listening to Rue Morgue Radio, your number one.
The night is my domain.
Hello, I'm Lisa Ladussard, your blood-spattered guide to music on Rue Morgue Radio.
It's Lisa!
Right! Lisa! You're hardcore!
Oh, he said I was hardcore.
If you're a regular listener to the show, and really, why wouldn't you be? Don't make me go get the crowbar. Anyway, the point is, if you tune into my segment, you know I have this thing called Bands to See Before I Die. It's why I finally went to an AC/DC concert last year, and why last weekend I dragged myself out on a cold winter's night to see a show by a band I know very little about, The Residents. It's no surprise I don't know all that much about The Residents. Imagine if we never, ever learned who was behind the Kiss makeup. For more than 40 years and dozens of albums, they have managed to keep their identities a secret. Only instead of wearing spandex and corpse paint, The Residents are known for sporting tuxedos and eyeballs for heads.
Say what?
Yes, it's all very strange, this art collective, this musical experiment, overseen by the Cryptic Corporation. And so, when they announced a new Residents tour was coming through Toronto, I thought, Lisa, it's time.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Randy, singer for the Residents. We wanted to invite all of you people into our little living room here.
The tour is called Talking Light, and the show is part concert and part theatrical production. You walk in and the stage is set with a fireplace, an armchair, a rug, video screens for projecting. And then the Residents emerge, three of them this time, a trio.
Carlos has retired.
Two musicians in sparkly black tuxedos, their faces completely obscured black with the masses of black dreads. And a guy on the mic, an old man in pajamas with clown shoes. What did my friend call him? A burn victim geriatric chic.
Boom, roasted.
He was old. And he could barely hop around. Poor thing. Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to!
For an hour and a half, this man told us his stories.
Now, some of these stories are kind of spooky.
Stories of children in coffins and serial killers, madness, mirror people that mess with your mind.
The mirror people! I heard one, again, just the other day. He said, "Hi, Randy. My wife, Bonnie, she's one. They got her."
It was all about death and memory, and told in reverse chronological order, like a kind of Benjamin Button in Pee-wee's Playhouse, if you can imagine.
One night not too long ago, I had this dream where all of a sudden I started hearing this guy sing. The song was kind of familiar, but at first I couldn't figure out what it was, and then bingo, it hit me. It was the commercial for pudding roll-ups. And I kept having the dream over and over, and the more I heard it, the more I recognized who was singing the song. And it was like bingo again. The song, the singer, was Hugh Ankelman, the pudding killer. Well, at this point, I was pretty upset, as you might imagine.
Ha!
what's going on around here?
Musically, it was ambient, eerie, ghostly, not so much noise rock as I was expecting, but that's what I've learned about the Residents. Not to expect anything, because you just never know. What else did I learn? They have a great sense of humor.
It's a mirror. Mirror on the front. Mirror on the back. Asshole over here.
And they are able to craft a really uncomfortable, dark, dreamlike environment, a real horror, I guess, without blood, without gore, without black eyeliner, just good musicianship and experimentation and imagination.
And his voice stopped there. But we took no heed of his dying prayer. In a narrow grave, just 6x3, we buried him there.
And so I'm very pleased to have seen the Residents at least once before I die. And if they come back to town, I can assure you, I will go and see them twice. If you would like to experience the Talking Light tour from your own home, it has been recorded. Every show is available for purchase on theresidents.com. I believe it's $7.99 per concert.
Fettuccine, linguine, martini, bikini.
Here is a sample from the Talking Light show. This is The Residents on Rue Morgue Radio.
Caustic Critics coming up right after this from Ratholic Silver Bullets on Rue Morgue Radio.
one and only Fancy Pants All Good Time Horror Radio Show. Let's go.
This is Bill Lustig, director of Maniac and Maniac Cop, coming to you from the Rue Morgue House of Horror, and you are listening to Rue Morgue Radio.
It was 25 years ago that my father found him. He was torn to pieces and half-eaten. Whatever did it was big, and buckshot couldn't kill it. After that, my father went home. Cast silver bullets. Wouldn't leave the house on a full moon from then on.
Be strong, son. Be strong.
I am what they say I am. I'm a monster.
I will kill all of you!
Let me help you.
Have its day.
The Classic Critic.
Controversial, unrelenting, it's brutal, it's nasty,
sensational.
The worst of the worst.
Offend everyone equally.
Bowling.
They're real.
The stuff shit scrapes off the bottom of its shoes.
They're mean.
So what was the actor's name?
Oh God, what a plank he is.
They're here.
Are you ready? It's time for the Classic Critic.
They're here.
All right, this is feedback.
And this is Last Chance Lance.
And before we begin, Lance.
What's up?
Brother Lance, I gotta say, I'm inspired and impressed at the wonderful replies we got to our contest.
Oh, yes, from our flock.
From our holy flock. It's an incredible, some of the wonderful godly words that poured out via email to us. So I've compiled them all, and they're on the Rue Morgue message board in the Rue Morgue radio forum. So check it out, rue-morgue.com, and read some of these holy words of wonderful bliss.
You're right on. Amen.
Amen. There are 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, preaching the word of God. Hallelujah. Worship and praise. And hallelujah. The devil's mad and I'm glad. Amen. Hallelujah.
This week, we have to do this. We're reviewing The Wolfman. That's Lance trying to get his dog Zephyr to respond
Nothing.
On cue. The best he does is he licks his balls when you do that. You trained him to lick his balls, which is a shameful and curious thing.
Maybe we should move on.
Yeah, here I go again. Bestiality, sexual innuendo. That wasn't part of the new way. Sorry, God.
I'm sorry, Sir John.
Be strong.
The Wolfman.
The Wolfman.
Starring Benicio del Toro and Anthony Hopkins. A lot of people are not overly thrilled with this movie. I am.
I liked it. Okay, want to do a plot synopsis first?
Go ahead, do one. For those who don't know.
I can't believe I have to do a plot synopsis for the Wolfman movie. Anyway, here we go. Okay, so turn of the century, late 1800s England. A man is killed on the moors by some kind of beast, or perhaps it's a lunatic. And his estranged brother returns home and promises the grieving widow he'll get to the bottom of it. And it turns out that it is a werewolf. He gets bitten, and you know the rest.
The shit hits the fan. Wolves bite humans. You know the story. What was good, first of all, the cinematography.
Amazing.
Every frame of this thing drowns in atmosphere.
Yeah.
And is drenched in blood and guts.
Sound is... that's it right there. The blood and the guts. This is a violent, violent movie that has decapitation, guts strewn all over the place.
Claws, like, coming up through the jaw, out through the mouth at one moment.
Amazing.
Really super violent. I was surprised. I was expecting a PG-13 treatment material.
No way.
This is hardcore.
And
violent
for
horror.
All of that great stuff, it is topped off by a magnificent performance by Anthony Hopkins.
It's fantastic.
Terrible things, Lawrence. You've done terrible things.
I'm a big fan of Anthony Hopkins going way back to his early work, but I haven't been overly excited to see his name in the credits of anything for a while, just because I've seen him in enough stuff that was really dodgy. So I was really surprised that he was so magnetic and so captivating. He plays an evil motherfucker.
He does. Well, you know what? The thing is, it's so great that he's in this playing so well, because the guy who actually is the lead, Benicio del Toro, I thought kind of sucked in it.
Well, I didn't think he sucked, but I definitely will go along with you and say I felt odd seeing him in the film. And strangely, where I wasn't excited about Hopkins, I was excited about Benicio del Toro.
Same here.
It seemed to me like this is the part the guy's born to play. He's part wolf to begin with.
Boom, roasted.
There was just something weirdly miscast about him. We didn't need this kind of part wolf character to begin with.
Yeah.
It kind of played against the power of what he was struggling with, that he had this inner beast that would just unleash itself beyond his control. I don't know, Benicio wasn't the right guy.
And
then he played him with this kind of brooding solemnity.
The most for me is that his role in the movie is he's supposed to be this world-famous Shakespearean actor, and yet he's thrown into this situation where he should be emoting something, but he says his lines so bland and solemnly, it's like he's bored to be there.
Please pack your things.
Something.
It's not safe here. You must return to London tonight. I'll be out of here waiting.
What are you afraid of?
If anything ever happened to you, I'd never forgive myself.
Let's talk about the CG effects.
Okay, well, obviously, Rick Baker was involved with this, and so I actually expected to see more of a transformation in line with An American Werewolf in London, and I got to admit that there was three transformations in it for Benicio alone. I was a little bit put off with the very first one, and the Wolfman does look a lot more like the Lon Chaney Wolfman from the original, and I didn't like that, but it grew on me completely, and as his body is morphing and breaking and snapping into this wolf shape, it was well done.
Yeah, really, I thought it was really well done.
I'm afraid the darkest hours of hell lie before you.
And you going in, we weren't going to see a practical effects prosthetic transformation sequence, despite the fact that Rick Baker's name was attached to the project. I think a lot of horror fans would have secretly hoped we would have seen that, but realistically, obviously CG exists now, and it's not overly surprising that they went with that technology. So I think it's only fair to evaluate it on its own terms. And I think in that regard, they did a really great job. There's some great moments with the transformation sequence. And I thought the creature design was fantastic. I loved the fact that it was so reminiscent of the original. In fact, this whole movie, to me, felt like it was constantly circling around and channeling the spirit of those old Universal monster movies. So I have to say, I really enjoyed it.
I'll have to admit, though, I went into the movie actually thinking that it was a biopic about Wolfman Jack, the DJ from the San Francisco in the 60s.
Yeah, in that regard, it totally, totally missed the mark.
Yeah, way off.
Listen, I've been getting very deep, bad vibrations out of some desert whistle stop town called Sodom. I want you to fold up your wings, check out the place firsthand, and if the news working its way up here is real word, then I'm gonna pile on some powerful thrashing on that bird. Right, Chief? Say the private eyes.
But other than that, if you're looking for the Universal monster movie, The Wolfman, you're gonna have a howling good time.
Ow!
Actually, I didn't like the howls, to tell you the truth.
Oh, no, those were a bit silly.
Were they? I thought they were horrible. Yeah, yeah. I meant to mention that.
Well, you did.
There you go. Okay.
Until next time, this is Feedback.
And this is Last Chance, Lance.
Stop it. Zephyr's giving himself a stiffy.
There goes the tall dude, man. Wham! Crash, brimstone, fire, sparks, 53 feet long, crashing from the top to the bottom, from the front to the back, hot action and smash comes pouring on Sodom. And while he's at it, he ain't messing around. He hits another perverted town called Gomorrah, cause it's just as much a freak show as Sodom.
Silver bullets. wolf? I am the wolf man. But that's it, fiends. We're out of time. Thanks for tuning in to Remark Radio. Another great show. You can follow me on Twitter at Tomb, DRAGOMIR. Send music submissions to 2926 Dundas Street West, Toronto, Ontario, M16-1Y8, Remark Radio. Drop me a line at Tomb at RemarkRadio.com. Until next time, fiends.
You are being stalked by the most savage, carnivorous ground beast in the world.
I am. That's no good. What is it, a grizzly bear?
I'm telling you, we got a grizzly, and then some.
All right, nobody panic. I keep a shotgun handy for just such random grizzly attacks. Let me just grab it here. Aim for the brain! Aim for the brain! Until next time, fiends. Adios.
After we shot the grizzly, after the airship crashed, after we lost the compass, after the radio went dead, we shot and ate the horses. We marched through deadly swamps inside a limestone cave. I found a human skull. Yes, Mary, I found a human skull. Caught a fever, we tied him to a tree. We stared into the fire and tried not to hear his scream. I killed a tiny antelope, not scared by my approach. We turned it over, dying flames as we huddled in the gloam. Yes, Mary, we huddled in the gloam. Five could safely float. The others stood upon the shore. They streamed in through sharp stones. Yes, Mary, they threw the sharpest stones. But how the sea did spin us, how the waves did roar. The captain jumped into the storm, then we were but four. One by one we chose our straws, till only I remained. But Mary, you are with me now, all around me in the waves. Yes, Mary, you are in the waves.
We're stuck in the middle of the ocean. Oh, God. Oh. Oh,
it's okay. It's okay.
This can't be happening. Oh God, something's rubbing
against my foot. Are you alright? Stay still. Put that up, it's gonna be okay. See you later, alligator. We'll be right back.
Mirror on the back. Asshole over here.
Damn right.